our good friend Mr. Flatstick Tom Denk coming on for a PGA and Masters preview and a little fantasy golf. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Flatstick?
I'm doing great, Rick. I just was looking online for my Barry Bonds vintage hat. I guess if you buy them, they all come two sizes too small.
Barry Bonds hat. I guess it depends on which era you're looking for with that guy. That cranium really tended to vary an awful
Usually
lot.
When you lose all your hair, the hat gets tighter. But oh well.
Yeah.
Exactly. Great to be on, Rick. So, thanks for having me as always. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, it's good. I'm doing real good, pal. It's great to have you in. And I figured we'll take a look through kind of like player by player a little bit in the course of doing a mock fantasy draft here in a few minutes. I've got my own picks that I'll be making, as well as the ones for my partners Jason, Samantha, and Steve that they've submitted to me on a list. But before we get going on that, let's just take a quick overview here. And we had you on, of course, at the tail end of the last season, the part that mattered anyways. I believe it was right after the PGA championship. And again, this is, as I've been doing a little bit of research and getting ready for tonight, and that's something, of course, you don't have to do because you're up on this 365 days a year, but I had to kind of play catch up to get ready for tonight. But it was a thing, Tom, where I'm just really really just impressed with the state of the PGA right now. This whole thing of young talent that's coming up, I mean, could this be one of the greatest eras in the history of the game that we are about a year or so into, with this crop of guys in there that are now collectively going to be posing a challenge to Tiger in the back nine of his career?
Yeah, you hit it. Last year everyone was complaining that there was nobody, and now everybody's saying it's super deep. So, you know, what's really happened with the game changer is a lot of these guys got their first one or two wins when Tiger had his off year, and Phil really wasn't had his arthritis. So that was about maybe, you know, 10 to 12 wins and a lot of top finishes that a lot of guys got last year. And we saw, you know, with the Ryder Cup, that's another big, you know, there's a big Ryder Cup bump. You usually see a lot of the young guys that play well in the Ryder Cup do well the next year. So you have those facets going. And also, is some of the guys that have won early this year, they just look fearless. I mean, it's been a game changer. These guys are out there hitting the ball, on a fly, Rick. Some of these guys can hit the ball 320 to 340 yards in the air. I mean, obviously they have new equipment. You know, they're elevated tee sometimes, things like that. But I don't care how you slice that, Rick. I mean, it's kind of like how the NBA guys are playing a game that, you know, people aren't really familiar with. I mean, some of these guys, like Dustin Johnson and like Gary Woodland, who won a few weeks ago in Florida, some of these guys are just so long. They do, you know, it's like they're Bubba Watson. They're playing this game that like a lot of guys don't have, and it's where you're seeing like really good athletes, they're changing the game. Now, obviously, you know, they have to make putts and things like that, and it is always a game of skill, but they're proving there's more than one way to get around the course, and these guys are just young and fearless. Like, you know, it used to be, you have to wait till your 30s. And I really did subscribe that, you know, winning is a skill and you have to take your lumps, but some of these guys are so fearless that you're seeing that. And the other thing is the junior golf programs are so good that, you know, some of these guys, they don't care. They're not going to wait till they're 30, you know, and have a bunch of close finishes. They're completely fine with just winning the first big one right out of the chute. So, obviously experience and time will tell, but these guys don't care. They're not listening to that. They're teeing it up this week to win, a lot of them. They don't care about high finishes. You know, they've got their money right now anyway. The money's so good, is they're playing to win. So we'll see. It's, I'm as excited as anybody. You know, this is my favorite week of the year. So, there's a lot of wide open. And the other thing is, last week with Phil winning and Anthony Kim went having a really good week, those are two guys that have been, their game is built for Augusta. So those are another two guys that all of a sudden who'd been sleeping dogs all year, and now they're in the mix. So it's just two more guys on top of all the good young Europeans, all the good young Americans, and then all the grizzled vets. So it's going to be a free-for-all. I printed out, they released, late on the 5th, what the pairings were going to be around 11:30, I think they came out. I'm sorry, today. you know, there's so many guys. Traditionally, what the Masters used to do was they'd take the three top young players in the world that they felt were due for a major, guys that had been close a couple times, and they'd put them all in the same group together. This year, there's like five groups like that, five guys that have not won at Augusta. They think they could do it. So, it's just amazing how many. I mean, that's 18 guys, about 18 guys that they have in these groups of, you know, young guys that could win a major on top of all the guys that have already won there and, like, have the game to come back. So, usually you could say there's about six guys. This year there's about, 30 guys wouldn't surprise anybody. And then, of course, it doesn't take much for the right guy to get hot in 1 week. But, it's a great week. There's a lot of guys, and that's going to be good, though, because I think people are familiar with all these guys. So, it won't be like, hey, who's this stiff? It's going to be like, this guy, I saw him win in Florida. I saw him out in Hawaii. So it's going to be great.
Oh, it really should be. And, again, it's a thing where we're looking at the next 10 to 15 years really starting to take shape as it started to last year with some of these young guys and winning tournaments. What we'll do in the course of looking at the players individually here, we'll have to condense and combine on this, especially with having our Bobby Blotzer interview pushed back to this hour here. I guess we'll have to kind of condense and combine talking about the players and doing it in the form of our mock draft, which we've got here. The picks were in this order. I did a blind draft. FDH Entertainment Editor Samantha Jones with the first pick. I, Rick Morris, am second. You, Mr. Flatstick, are the third pick. Jason Jones, our senior editor, with the fourth pick. And the FDH New York Bureau senior producer Steve Servillo with a fifth pick. Seven rounds, standard serpentine here. I've got the lists for the other three. I'm making the picks for myself, so I'll just rattle them off here leading up to you in the middle, Tom. You're in the middle of the first round. Well, the middle of the second round also doing it this way. Samantha with the first pick, a little bit hesitant to move off of what it would have been the chalk of the last several years. Tiger Woods with the first pick. I with the second pick. Could have gone in a couple different directions here, but the chalk on the FDH board, I'm going with Martin Keimer. He really had that nice breakthrough last year at the PGA. He's become the number one player in the world right now, and I'm going to go with him over Mickelson, leaving him available to you at three if you want him. But thoughts on the first two, Tom?
Well, good news for Samantha is that in your format you get points for top tens, because I think, unfortunately, that's all Woods is going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Say what you will about Woods. I think I don't agree with the people that think he's not there between the years. I honestly think that he still hasn't figured out how to deal with his left knee being surgically rebuilt, and he just isn't driving it like in places where you can drive it in the tough courses. They have this event, it's called the Tavistock Cup down in Florida. They play it on one of their country clubs, and basically all the guys that live around the same courses in Florida get together and beat each other's brains in, and they do raise some money for charity. But, he couldn't even get the ball on the fairways out there. So I just think until he can put the ball on the short grass, which, his iron game is still one of the best in the world, if not the best, he just needs to get to that point. People say, he wasn't always the best driver. That's a misconception. Back in, the early 2000s when he was wailing on people, he led the tour in total driving. He was hitting 70% of his fairways. So he just needs to get, I think, somewhat closer back to that, and I think he'll be okay. I don't necessarily buy that, he's not there. I just don't think he, hole in and hole out, he's given himself the chances that he needs. Keimer's great. A year ago people were saying, is it Keimer? Who is this guy? but he's great. I think he'll be probably the number one guy going into all the other majors. I don't think at Augusta. One little tidbit here at Augusta, it really benefits you if you can shape the ball right to left, okay? Keimer has this deadly efficient, it's a fade, which is like a very, for the people that don't golf a lot, it's like a controlled slice. It's just very slight, okay? And he hits that shot relentlessly, hole in and hole out. He can do it, and he's been working on it, and I think I'd almost guarantee he finishes in the top 10.
Okay.
But I don't think he's going to have enough to at this particular course do it. I think right now, though, he's the number one guy for all the other tournaments, unless, someone gets loose. But right now, I think he's the number one guy for every other tournament in the world.
That's a great pick.
I think he's your guy there. Me at number three, I'm going to go with Graham McDowell. He's a South African. I'm sorry, he's not a South African. He's
Irish
a guy that's he's British, Irish, Northern Irish. He's got a mixed descent. He won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach last year. I've just been kind of hot to trot on him. I think his iron game right now is the best in the world, and he can drive it, and he's putting it. He's just doing everything right now. So he's going to be my pick to win Augusta, and he's going to be my pick in the first round of draft. I think his game's carrying over. Do I think he's going to have as good of a career as some of the other guys? No. But right now I think he's just really dialed in, and he's going to be my pick.
Okay. All right. Very good. As far as it goes with the scoring system, we've got it linked at our fantasy newsletter at fantasydrafthealth.blogspot.com. But we've got this for the four major tournaments of the year and the four near major tournaments the rest of the way. Of course, the Players' Championship, the Memorial, the WGC Invitational, and the Tour Championship. And scoring on the four near major tournaments goes from 90 points for first place down to 10 points for 10th place. That also applies in the FedEx Cup standings. For the four major tournaments, everything is times 1.5. So it goes from 135 points for first place down to 15 points for 10th place. So it's all about top 10 finishes and awarding progressively more points in the more important events. Going through this here, looking at the way that the next couple picks shook out, Jason, off of his board, he selects Phil Mickelson 4. It's Jim Furyk 5 to Steve Cervillo. From there, he takes Steve also takes Lee Westwood with his next pick, and for Jason, it's Bubba Watson with his second round pick. So, talk about those four going in order. Phil, Furyk, Westwood, and Bubba.
Oh, Mickelson looked great last week. I couldn't believe how he turned it around. All year, he's been like, "Well, I'm going to peak at Augusta," and you know, he wins the week before, so he's dialed in. He's peaking for the biggest tournaments, and in our format, that's great. Furyk, you know, he hasn't done much, but, you know, nobody plays great golf all year long. I mean, it's really rare. I mean, you've had the years where Woods does it, and every once in a year, a guy like Matt Kuchar will have it, but, you know, Jim Furyk's going to get it going. I think that, you know, he's kind of like your Marvin Harrison in his prime. You know, at the end of the year, you're going to look up, and there's going to be 100 catches and 15 touchdowns. I've always thought he could have won a little bit more, but I mean, you're just reaching if you're predicting anything else. Westwood's great, you know. He's been close and enough. I don't think he's really blown any of them per se, the close tournaments that he's had to win. So he's got to number one the hard way. He's not there right now, but big deal. You know, he's number two. I'm not going to go out on the limb and people say, oh, he's owed one, because, you know, let's face it, guys like Ernie Els and Steve Stricker, you know, they could say the same thing. But, you know, he's great. Bubba Watts is great. He could have easily been my guy. He's a guy that we talk about when we're saying, like, these new kind of athletes can do things, and they're just trying to play the game a little bit different. Watson doesn't hit the ball straight. He plays these crazy he's one of these guys, if you get a chance to go out to, like, a Firestone or a course, he would be, like this year at Firestone, for instance, me and my friend, we've already decided he's the guy we're going to go walk around and follow this year, because he can just do things no one else. So with my next pick, I'm going to come in. I'm going to take Nick Watney. He's a good young player. He was in the final group last year at the PGA. He ended up shooting like a 78 or an 80. Did terribly, but he came back this year. He did win the Doral, the first World Golf Championship. The thing I like about Nick Watney is he's a sick putter. And to win these big tournaments, you're going to have to make some putts on the big course. That's not his Achilles heel at all. So I'm going to go with Nick Watney, the younger guy. Normally in the past, we've had these discussions in the past. I like guys in their 30s, but Watney, I think he's like 28, younger, but he's gotten a couple wins now. And, you know, like I said, I think like 27, 28 is the old 32. I think you can take about 5 years off everybody. So he's my guy.
Okay. We got the next four in here, looking at the list. I'm going with the chalk, as I always do in these circumstances on the FDH board. Loving the value of Paul Casey here with the penultimate pick in the second round. That leaves for Samantha at the turn, second round and third round. She takes Rory McIlroy with the first pick and the second one. And again, Samantha, like Jason, is big on name value. She's going to go for the proven value over time of Ernie Els. I'm going to take Matt Kuchar with my next pick, who, as you alluded to, Tom, has really had a heck of a year and done well last year as well. He's carried it over.
Yeah, he's had the most top 10s the last 2 years combined. Kuchar, I mean, this is just my Mr. Flat Six unofficial theory, but he picked up tennis with his wife, and his game's gone crazy. Everybody that I ever known, I've been fortunate to meet up with some friends that were some like college tennis players and things like that. Every one of them is a great golfer. So I was like, oh my gosh, when I heard he was golfing, I'm like, well, look out for this guy. He's going to have a good year. But Kuchar's great, and you know, he's at the point where he's poised to do some damage. You know, Rory McIlroy, you know, he's another thing where he can putt and he can win the tournament in 1 or 2 days. He doesn't have the wins that, you know, you'd like, but, you know, he's placed well in the tied tournaments. I think last year at the British Open, he was the odds-on favorite last year. And I know some people think, oh, it's just the odds makers. But in golf, they're pretty good with those, you know, in terms of, you know, keeping the bets down. And it was interesting that he was the number one guy. You know, Els, again, he's peaking for the big tournament. So I think the big deal, he's not, you know, schlepping it out there in some of the lower tier events. That's nothing to get worried about.
Well, looking at your next pick, Tom, you're sitting here in the middle of the third round, and you still got some nice value out there. You've got some of the bigger names of the last couple of years, frankly, still available to you here at this point.
Yeah,
you
can
still
you
go for somebody on the upward swing.
I got to take Dustin Johnson. He's the other big American.
Yep.
I've been
shock on our
year,
board.
After the PGA, you had me on, and we talked about Johnson. I was pretty critical of him because he had blown the – you know, he had a – obviously, the guy puts himself in the final group of a major championship. He's doing things right. You can't make fun of these guys. But the thing is, he made some kind of mental mistakes, didn't calm himself down. And then when he got to the PGA championship, he made some critical mistakes, you know, like self-inflicted. You know, that's the thing is they're self-inflicted wounds. And then I kind of didn't like for instance, you know, like last year he blew the PGA. Okay, he took the penalties. Obviously, we can argue about that. But then, you know, him and his caddy didn't want to do any interviews. And then, they won a smaller tournament later in the year. And then his caddy all of a sudden comes out and was like, hey, you know, screw you, everybody. You know, we knew what we were doing. And then this year, you know, they miss a tee time. They get penalized 2 strokes right off the bat. On golf.com, you get articles by the Sports Illustrated writers and the Golf Digest writers. Damon Hack, I believe, had a tremendous piece. And if you read it on Dustin Johnson, basically it says he is like the super freak, the new kind of athlete that's out there. The guy can dunk basketballs barefooted. He can do all these sorts of things. When you read the article, either you think he's a tremendous flake and is going to ruin his career, or you're convinced he's going to rip off like 10 huge tournaments. It's going to be hilarious to see which way it goes. But just to prove that I'm not you know, playing personal poker, I'll take him anyway. So give me another reason to be vested in the young man's potential this year.
Okay. Well, he was the chalk pick on the FDH board and at number 8 overall. They're a tremendous value for you. The picks subsequently from there, going off of Jason's list again, looking for some proven name value. Doesn't have any majors, but doing pretty good aside from that. Steve Stricker. The picks for Steve Cervillo are Luke Donald and Hunter Mahan. And Jason goes back again, talk about proven value over the years, Retief Goosen. So that swings it back to you, mid-fourth round, Tom.
Oh, hey, we got to talk about Donald. Donald's up to number 3 in the world.
Yep.
This is newsflash for Augusta. This is always the big thing you want to look at. Donald isn't one of the big hitters. He's not one of the new age guys, but he's got probably from 75 yards to 25 yards, he's got maybe the best wedge game, and he's a really good putter. Now, obviously, that goes a long way because nobody hits all the greens at the really tough courses. And, like, that's how you can get things done. One thing at Augusta is they're calling for nice, dry temperatures. That means some of the guys that don't hit it that bad, they're going to be able to be getting extra distance on their drives, on the roll, on a lot of things. The wind isn't going to be beating down their shots. So normally in the past where he would be at maybe a mild disadvantage, now it's not a big thing at all. I mean, really, let's say Dustin Johnson hits his drive 340 yards as opposed to 310. You know, the guy's obviously going to be hitting the shortest wedge he has in his bag at either point. But a guy from Donald who might, you know, now go from 275 to 290 because of nice firm conditions, you know, now he's hitting pitching wedges and shorter clubs into the greens as opposed to mid-irons. So I think somebody for him, he's somebody that, like, a couple weeks ago, I really wanted to, honestly, for the Masters, I needed to see what the weather was going to be like before I considered him. Goosen, you know, he's got a great track record in the majors. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that in a format like we have. We're doing that. Stricker was going to be the pick if I didn't go with Dustin Johnson, but I had to go with Johnson there. So those are good. My other guy here, Hunter Mahan. Oh, he's great. If you ever watch when Hunter Mahan wins a tournament, this year he hasn't closed one out. He's blown a couple leads at the end, but you got to watch. He has this huge, big endorsement deal with, I think it's Monster Energy Drink. So when he gets on and Roger Maltby comes up and, hey, Hunter, how you doing, man? That was a great final round. Tell us what you did. Hunter Mahan, he's the NASCAR driver of the PGA Tour. he gets the guerrilla marketing in there at all times. You're going to get three or four flashes where he's going to pull up the Monster, the drink cup, and he's going to take some really long slurps out of it in between his sentences. There's no way he gets that thing on CBS if he wins this week, but I'm convinced – he's going to have, like, the Monster thing, and he's going to take off the green coat to stretch for a second, and you're going to see the Monster label. So I'm almost hoping it happens because I'll be frank with you. I think he's a little bit of a flakester that way. I there's a way to make your money in golf. I don't know if whoring out Monster Energy Drink is the way you want to go down in your career, but, you know, it works for him, and he's exciting. I got to see part of him at Firestone last year, and, you know, when he's dialed in, you know, he's – you know, putting people to shame. So, you know, it's going to be exciting. So if Hunter Mahan is in the end, you got to stay through basically any tournament for the post-game show because the performance he does getting all sponsors in, even if you find it distasteful, it's going to be pretty epic here. So I need to make another pick here. I'm going down here. Let's find somebody here for me. Oh, geez. Okay.
You still got some nice choices available, Tom, it looks like to me.
Yeah,
there's such depth on that second tier this year. You know, you've got that top tier that's a handful deep, maybe three, four, five. We're saying four at FDH. We're saying that the next tier is 18 deep, the guys who really can be threats throughout the year.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ian Poulter. He's a chronic Twitterer. He's him and Stu Sink are the two big Twitter guys. I liked Poulter a couple years ago. He'd gotten it up to number four in the world. Here's a little note here if you're following golf, and people say, oh, you know, there's a lot of movement in the world rankings this week. You know, that's the big thing, and people are like, oh, is this the best? Basically, in golf, it's a rolling two-year period. You know, this year's points count so much, then last year's counted like half that. So you're always gaining tournaments and losing tournaments. You know, guys don't always play the same things. This year, so for Tiger Woods, he hasn't really done so much. So after the U.S. Open this year is when, you know, he's going to start going down if he doesn't get some wins. But there's been like less than like 60, 70 guys all time have been in the top 10 in like the past 20 years. Okay? So really like 10 is like a real good line of demarcation. I mean, if you've ever been in the top 10 in the world in golf, your name. There's nobody that's ever really fluked his way in there and hasn't, like, say, suffered, like, a devastating injury or something like that. So, you know, Poulter's been hanging around in the top 20. He's a guy that's going to contend in all of them because his game is more built for the bigger tournaments. A side note, a friend of mine who works in the high-end auto industry, basically he fixes your high-end autos, has basically a client that comes in, but they do go to Firestone together, and Poulter, he's kind of seen as, you know, he does have that dry English whip, but he really built his game out of the ground. You know, was never really, you know, like one of these top junior players, but just had this belief and would just tell anybody that would listen, oh, I'm going to be on the PGA Tour in a few years, just watch, and just would go out to the range every day. So, you know, that's like, you know, just stories that you hear about him and just how he kind of built himself up. He's kind of flashy, but I think he deserves every nickel of success. So I'm going to take him. I really especially like him because he's got a game that can win over in Europe and in the United States. So, you know, I'm going to look for things for him.
Interesting. Well, here are the next couple picks that were made. I ended up selecting Martin Laird, chalk off the board, highest pick left on the FDH board. Samantha, again, going for proven value, Padraig Harrington. The second pick, more of an upside one, Anthony Kim. A lot of promise, hasn't gotten it done yet. That could also describe our next guy that I took. It seems like I've had this guy like 5 years in a row, Sean O'Hare. I get this guy every year, but I keep valuing him appropriately. So
O'Hare's a great player. You know, he just needs to get – he's like Vijay Singh in a way. He just needs to get the putter just slightly above average for like a big major.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of his game is all there. And so he's got tools that some other guys don't. With his game, I think even the guys that on the tour would say that you know, he's got the whole package there to put it together. You know, so I don't think you have, you know, really, really, really much to worry about with him. You know, he's definitely a fine young player. You know, in terms of the other guys, like Kim had a surgery, I believe it was on his thumb last year. And initially he was kind of delaying having surgery because he wanted to see if he could gut it through and make it to the Ryder Cup. Then he had it rushed and then really hurried his recovery time because he wanted to get back for the Ryder Cup, and then they didn't take him because he didn't have enough points. And then the whole winter, you know, he kind of had to go back to rehabbing. He's also a young guy that parties a little bit. But last week, you know, he had his best finish, like, you know, since, like, actually the week before the Masters last year. So he has the Augusta record, 11 birdies in a round. He's another one of those guys that likes the big tournaments. Nothing wrong with him. So it comes to me here, there's some, you know, big young guys. And by the way, Martin Laird, the Scottish fellow, he actually is from Scotland, but he came to the United States to play college golf and hasn't left. He's another one of these super freaks that just hits the ball, you know, miles and miles and miles and miles. So you can take those guys. I'm going to go with a guy a little bit lower in the world rankings for because we're going for the big tournaments here.
Mm-hmm.
He just got his way in. I'm going to take the Venezuelan Jonathan Vegas, or Johnny Vegas is what they call him. Just kind of he's another one of these guys that is the modern athlete. He's 6'2", 210. Like, fills up, you know, every inch of his shirt. He's just like a hulking presence out there. I'm just going to go with the one-year flash, add a newcomer to my board. I tend to find that some of the guys from the smaller nations who kind of come out there, they're a little bit more, you know, it's not uncommon for maybe to see one of them just break onto the scene and kind of get it done because they're so tough having to get all the way from, like, obscurity to the big tour. So we're going to go with him, Vijas.
Okay.
Looks like Vegas for those scoring at home.
Yeah, he really has gotten a lot of pub for what he's done this year on the tour. Quite a breakthrough story. He's one of the guys relative to – we talk about these crop of guys that have come along. He's been one this year. I mean, he hasn't literally come from nowhere, but he's really kind of gotten that billing this year.
Oh, yeah. I think he had a second and a first place in back-to-back weeks. I think he flamed out. I think he got cut last week after two rounds, but he already hit his ticket punch to things and Masters. And now that he's got his win, he's going to be – you know, he's not going to have to qualify. He can probably redo his thing. He hasn't played all the courses, but I think he's someone fun and he's someone worth rooting for, too. So I think, you know, rightly or wrongly, a lot of these guys, I mean, no one in the very, like, I mean, there's a few guys here that are just so natural. I mean, most of these guys have had to work on their game, but he does have a little more of that salt of the earth quality, and I think a lot of the fans identify with him a little bit. So even though, you know, he's from Venezuela, and who's the dictator from Venezuela?
Chavez.
Yeah, and Chavez made the comment that said, congratulating beating all the gringos, continue to do it, please, as his, state comment after the win. So, you know, if we can keep Chavez's crazy self in the news, it'll only be more than entertaining.
It will be, definitely. The end of the fifth round and sixth round picks that were made, Jason's pick, Camilo Viegas, moves to Steve for Justin Rose and Adam Scott. Circling back around to Jason, he takes Vijay Singh at this point.
Okay. You know, obviously you're going to see some of the guys. And, you know, some of these older guys, you know, they're not that old. Like, Rose is in, you know, he's in his early 30s. Scott's in his early 30s. Singh's up there. Actually, Vijay Singh, you would never believe this, at Riviera earlier this year, he led the week in putting, okay? Vijay Singh used to hit every shot to 10 feet and then just be, like, luck in a few and then win a ton of tournaments that way. But, you know, his game's kind of metamorphized. He can't – he's put so many miles on his body, he just can't stand out there and – beat balls for 8 hours a day, so it's kind of nice to see him evolving. He's contended a few times this year, so you know, again, he's the guy that's just playing for the big tournaments. I'm going to go with, Ricky Fowler's still out there. I'm going to go with him. This goes against everything I have to say. The guy hasn't even won a tournament yet. Now, mind you, he has placed a couple seconds. But the guy, he continually has a lot of high performances, so I think that it'd be nice just to have someone like that that's young, that's qualified. You know, he's out there looking for his wins. So, you know, obviously we don't have to necessarily pick the winners. I don't think necessarily he's going to win. But Ricky Fowler's got, you know, stud game. You know, he didn't fluke his way into the top. You know, I think right now he's 32 in the world. He'd been a little bit higher last year at one point. So, you know, there's no fluking any of this. So I'm going to go with him as my pick.
Okay. The picks the rest of the way here, circling back around in the sixth round, beginning of the seventh round. I am taking Charlie Hoffman. By the way, Ricky Fowler was the chalk pick on the FBH board at that point. We had him at the top of the third tier. I'm taking Charlie Hoffman. Samantha is taking Sergio Garcia and KJ Choi. I then am taking Ryan Moore for my selection.
Oh, you're not doing that to me, Ricky. Oh,
twice now? Did I punk you twice, Tom?
Oh, yes. Well,
oh,
you know,
sorry,
I got
Decker.
I think there was. Ryan Moore is one of my favorite players. Here's a little thing. Often, almost, you know, we'll get to Augusta here real briefly, but almost all the time, the guy who wins Augusta was like top 16 at Augusta the previous year. Ryan Moore last year came in the top 16. He's been within a shot or two of the 36-hole lead two or three times this year and just hasn't really put it together on the weekend. But I think he's another guy. He basically won everything in college. I think he's one of these guys that's more motivated by the big tournaments than necessarily the money. The only thing he did is he did change his clubs in the winter, but I haven't really seen his play suffer too much early in the year. I think he's lurking, and I think he's going to have a great summertime. His brother caddies for him. I really like his game. He's a guy out there on tour. He wears the he went completely sponsorless for a little bit there for like a year and a half. He just said he didn't want to be beholden to anybody for sponsorship money.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of an original thinker, does his thing his own way. I really, really like his game. Actually, he's a guy that I like. He's the one of the few guys I know. Obviously, he's not one of the best five players in the world, but every week I'm trying to watch what he does because I just like his style. He's not out there. He's got his own plan. He's working his plan. So I'm going to go with Jason Day. Jason Day won the nationwide event in Cleveland about 5 years ago, and I think he was 19 years old. He was the youngest winner of all time on that tour. But he is, you know, sometimes they talk about, these prodigies like Rory and Ricky Fowler and things like that. Day is right there with them. He's a little slight, but these young guys are so flexible. They're mashing the ball so far. And he's actually won tournaments at all the levels. He's another guy that just hasn't really lucked his way around. I mean, he's winning some tournaments. So, you never told me 3 years ago that if I had a choice in one of these drafts, I'd be taking guys like Jason Day and Ricky Fowler. But, I like the value, so that's where we're going to go this year.
That's what you got to do. The last two picks of the draft, Jason goes with Jeff Ogilvie and Steve. He had a note next to this next guy that he was looking for consistency in tournaments, knew that he wasn't going to place real high, but thought he had a chance to backdoor a few top tens. Robert Allenby is the Mr. Irrelevant of this draft.
Oh, there's guys, Rick, one of the guys, I can't think of it, who it is. It might be Michael Bamberger from Sports Illustrated. They ask, who's your dark horse this week? And it's like a running gag because he takes Robert Allenby every week. Allenby's 19th or 20th in the world based on, what's happened in the last, week. But, I'm sorry, that's Robert Carlson. But Robert Allenby, he's always there. He's got the whole game to do it.
He grinds.
Oh, yeah. And he's had a few chances to win that his putter kind of balked on him. But he's like one of those guys that comes out and he's like, you know what? I didn't do it, but I learned a lot out there today. So definitely, I mean, there's so many, there wasn't any of those picks like in the years past. There'd be some guy that was hurt and we're like, ugh. There's so many good guys. Now, for instance, a guy like Sergio, guy took like basically a year off. He kind of mentally cashed in half a year. Then he took a half year off. And boom, last couple weeks he's had some good performances. There's a lot of people that love to hate on him. I'm still fascinated by his game. I watched him again. I spent a little bit last year watching him out at Firestone. There's so many guys, and it's going to be so exciting. And the thing is, all these guys kind of have their own brand thing going. You've heard of them now. So where people were like, the Tiger vacuum, I think actually it's only made the game better. In fact, he's more polarizing now than he ever was. So people are, it's actually drawing people, to watch. The ratings are up all across the board. People want to say, there's some terrible excuses. People that just can't believe that, we're excited by people to golf that aren't named Phil and Tiger, but the ratings prove it. It's across all the tournaments. I don't want to hear any of this nonsense that, there was bad snow, so the Northeast people just sat in and watched golf. I'm sorry, man. There's way too much of a spectrum of cable and social media and things to do if people were not interested. People are just grasping. There's a lot of young players out there. There's somebody for everybody. it's amazing when they're not spending 70% of their coverage on Tiger. You know, people are getting to know some of these people and are infatuated with their game. So
exactly.
It's healthy, man.
Denker, we're almost up to our top of the hour hard sign off here. Here's what we got for the teams that were drafted. We'll have them up at FDH here. Samantha Jones with Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Ernie Els, Patrick Harrington, Anthony Kim, Sergio Garcia, KJ Choi. I, Rick Morris, had Martin Keimer, Paul Casey, Matt Kuchar, Martin Laird, Sean O'Hare, Charlie Hoffman, Ryan Moore. You, Tom Denk, with Graham McDowell, Nick Watney, Dustin Johnson, Ian Poulter, Johnny Vegas, Ricky Fowler, Jason Day. Jason Jones with Phil Mickelson, Bubba Watson, Steve Stricker, Retief Goosen, Camilo Viegas, Vijay Singh, Jeff Ogilvie, Steve Cervillo with Jim Furyk, Lee Westwood, Luke Donald, Hunter Mahan, Justin Rose, Adam Scott, and Robert Allenby. Any other thoughts here going into Augusta this week here as we sign off, Tom?
You know what? I'm going to tweet my leaderboard out here in the next 24 hours. Probably tonight I'm going to start probably around 10, and I'm going to tweet my way down and give a pro and con on each guy. But I think it's going to be a fast course. Weather's going to be good. So I think that does favor, you know, the big guys are going to be out there mashing it. They're going to, I mean, these big guys play driver and then an iron in on the par fives in two shots. So remember that these big guys are playing them. It's like a par 68 course. But the little guys, it's going to be good conditions for them too. So there's going to be a lot of guys that can do it. The only other thing that I say is people remember that what Phil Mickelson did last year, he shot 16 under. That course that Tiger Woods dismantled, Tiger Woods shot an 18 under. So the course that was about 500 yards longer and had rough, Mickelson shot two strokes within what Tiger shot all those years ago. So just think about, I think when people get a chance, I'll be, you know, I think that score that he did last year in those conditions is really going to be something to behold. So, you know, and hopefully we're going to see more of that this week. So thanks for having me
on. All right. Hey, Denker, people can go there. It's on Twitter. It's at MR Flatstick, all lowercase letters. I respect that you're taking your time. You're doing it right on the launch of the site here. In the meantime, people can find your coverage. We'll be talking to you throughout the season. Always a pleasure, Tommy.
Thanks so much, man. You're
appreciate
great.
Appreciate it. Good friend of ours, Tom Denk, Mr. Flatstick, FDH Golf Analyst.